Thank you. Well, it is great to be back home, truly, where, as Cindy mentioned, I got to spend kindergarten through college here in Bozeman. Nice to have the Pledge of Allegiance done by a Bobcat as well, Denarius. Thank you. And I'm so proud of Denarius McGee. There is a guy who we're proud of him on the field, but I am even more proud of what he does off the field. Denarius, you are a class act, and thank you for that. I want to thank my family for being here. My mom and dad are here on the stage with me. Yes, you can give them a round of applause. So our children, we have three of the four here as well, and truly, my wife and my best friend, Cindy, if she was not up to this for doing this, I wouldn't do it. It's not worth it, but I'm grateful that she stands with me in this battle. I'm also excited to see a few of our local elected officials here. Senator Art Wittick is here today. We have Representative Roger Hagan. We have Sheriff Gutkin. Sheriff? Right here. Great to have the Gallatin County Sheriff right here. So he's got my back, all right? Got that. We've got Representative Ted Washburn here, Representative Gordy Vance, the Mayor, Jeff Krause. Jeff and I were on the tree patrol in Westfield Park for years. We were out there planting trees together years ago, Jeff. And then Senator Scott Sales as well. So thank you for joining us for this important day. More than 150 years ago, a young Norwegian woman named Karin Dyrud heard of the freedom and opportunity that awaited in America. Now, she immigrated to this country, and she settled in Minnesota. And I'm not sure if she heard about the prospects of better skiing or maybe smaller mosquitoes. They had seven children, and they kept heading west. Her husband passed away, and she picked up this widow and mother of seven and moved to Montana. And she homesteaded about an hour north of Great Falls. And as you know, Montana winters are tough. They can be a bit tough up in that part of our state. And there she is running a homestead and caring for seven children. This Norwegian widow was my great-great-grandmother and is the beginning of my Montana story. She's buried 23 miles east of Conrad, Montana, home of the Conrad Cowboys, in a small country cemetery surrounded by wheat fields. And her headstone has but three words on it. It says, "Saved by grace." It doesn't say, "Saved by her government." I had a pretty smart great-great-grandma. Her perseverance is the reason why my family has called Montana home for five generations. And it's why I've been able to pass along a legacy of faith, of freedom, of personal responsibility, and opportunity to my own children. These are the values that make Montana great. These are the character traits that set Montana apart. And these are the principles that are so desperately needed in Washington, D.C. today. And you know, as a kid who walked a Longfellow school here in Bozeman and grew up in southwest Montana, I can tell you that spending time in Washington, D.C. was never high on my list of things to do. But 3 years ago, Cindy and I looked at the direction this country was headed and knew that something had to be done. And after more than 28 years of working in the private sector and creating good-paying jobs, I knew that we needed more Montana-created solutions in Washington, because Montanans fundamentally understand that our federal government is too big, it is too powerful, it spends too much, and it interferes too often with our daily lives. Washington, D.C. needs to look more like Montana. Montana should not look more like Washington, D.C. Yeah. And with your help, last fall you elected this Montana State University Bobcat and a Bozeman Hawk. And by the way, it's a pretty good year for football in this town, isn't it? The Hawks, number one, AA, 10-0, headed into the playoffs, and the Bobcats ranked number four in the country. It's a great year. Well, you elected this Bobcat and Hawk to serve in the United States House of Representatives. And it's been an honor to be back there fighting for hardworking taxpayers, for Montana families, working to lift the barriers facing Montana's energy sector, and developing forest management reforms that will help grow our state's timber industry, create badly needed jobs in western Montana, instead of watching these forests burn in the summer. And let me tell you this. I have been steadfast in the fight to repeal Obamacare. Oh. Obamacare is a failing law that Montanans don't want and the country cannot afford. President Obama promised, and he said this, and he's been quoted many, many times with this statement. He says, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it. Thousands of Montanans already have discovered that that is far from the truth. In fact, over the past few weeks, Montanans have reached out to me and have been sharing how Obamacare is increasing health care costs, and in fact, they're getting their health care plans canceled entirely. Dean and his wife, Summer, live up in Kalispell. They're hardworking parents. They have an autistic son. They have a daughter with muscular dystrophy. I spoke on the phone with Summer yesterday. Under Obamacare, their family's annual health care costs will increase by $4,500 per year. Or Suzanne from Molt, Montana. Do you know where Molt is? Yes. This is a well-informed crowd here. Somewhere between Billings and Rapidgee right there, right? You know where Molt's at. She tells us she just received her cancellation notice for her insurance plan and then discovered that a comparable plan under the Obamacare exchanges, it was more expensive, offered less coverage, and had a higher deductible. And these are just a couple of the examples of more than 20,000 Montanans that have already received their notices that they're going to lose their health care insurance as a result of Obamacare. We can no longer afford a U.S. Senate that stands with President Obama instead of the people of Montana. The American people fired Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House in 2010. It's time we do the same thing to Harry Reid in 2014. Let's talk about this Senate back in Washington. This Senate speaks for President Obama, not Montanans, when it ensures that big business and Washington bureaucrats are exempted from Obamacare provisions, while hard-working Americans are left to suffer the consequences of this law. This Senate led efforts to allow the IRS to investigate your personal health care choices and penalize and tax you if you chose something different than when President Obama wanted you to choose. This Senate has stood as a roadblock for constructing the Keystone Pipeline and the thousands of jobs it would create. For 5 years, they've been putting up barriers to this project. Do you realize the Keystone Pipeline will have enough oil flowing through it that's equivalent to half the oil we import today from the Middle East? This Senate is waging a war on coal. When you wage a war on coal, you're waging a war on American energy, on American families, and American jobs. You're waging a war on hardworking Montanans who live month to month, who are grateful that they have coal supplying their electrical needs, because without that, their prices are going to go up for electricity. This is a Senate that has worked repeatedly to limit your Second Amendment rights. And so today, after a year as your representative, my concern about this country has only deepened. Montanans want a government that serves the people and not the other way around. Montanans deserve better. And I'm convinced we can get there. And that's why I'm here today, to humbly ask for your support to be Montana's next United States Senator. Now, thank you. Now, most folks in Washington are educated on how to win an argument. That's how they went to school. Or score points in debate rather than solve problems. And as Greg Gianforte said, and I am just grateful for what Greg and his wife Susan have done for this valley of creating the jobs and creating this vision of how we can bring high-tech businesses to Montana and grow them here and thrive. But I was trained at Montana State as an engineer. In fact, I'm the only chemical engineer in Congress. I think most engineers are too smart to run for Congress. Engineers are taught to look at problems and then find solutions. And that's what we did at Right Now Technologies. It was a company founded right here, in fact, literally, in the home of Greg and Susan Gianforte, and it created more than 1,000 high-paying jobs. Now, why did a small Montana-based software company out-innovate and beat multi-billion-dollar Silicon Valley companies? Well, we identified problems that our customers faced, and then we provided solutions. We hired Montana kids. That's the secret sauce, by the way. And many of them are educated right here in Montana. And when you grow up in Montana, you learn early on how to solve problems and get her done. Fix and fence, broken down tractor or truck, irrigation pumps. You know that you've got to get the problem solved and fixed. You can't pick up the phone and call some high-priced consultant with a fancy Italian suit on. In small towns and on family farms, you had to learn how to work with your neighbors. You've got to get over your differences sometimes. And it's a principle that's badly needed in Washington. Because as you know and I know, Montana isn't just the big sky. It's the land of big ideas. Do you realize Montana can lead the way to our nation's energy independence? But we need the government, the federal government, to step back and allow our state to manage and develop its resources. We see this firsthand on the Crow Reservation, which is home to some of the larger coal deposits in our state. In fact, Chairman Darren Oldcoyote of the Crow Tribe, he came into my office when I was first elected. He walked in, he said, "I'm Chairman Darren Oldcoyote." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, do you know Rachel Oldcoyote?" And he looked at me with kind of a puzzled look. He says, "Well, that's my cousin." I said, "Well, the Oldcoyotes live four doors down from us on South Boson back in the 1960s when Rachel and I walked to Longfellow hand in hand together." And that began a relationship. And they want to develop the resources that is on their tribal lands. Because why? It means good-paying jobs for the Crow people and a chance for economic independence, which is freedom. And in Montana, we value our freedoms, and we know the importance of protecting them. I grew up hunting with my dad and my grandpa, killed my first antelope north of Big Timber. Remember it very, very well. Anybody who shot a four-legged creature remembers that very well, that first one you tag. And I've passed that tradition on to my kids. As a sportsman, I know how important the Second Amendment is, and that's why I will always fight to protect this right for the people of Montana. But as Montanans know, the Second Amendment is not about hunting. It is about freedom and it is about liberty. And as the son of a U.S. Marine, and I'm grateful I'm standing with and beside many, many veterans here today. I see the shirts, I see the hats. I was taught early the importance of service and putting others ahead of self. Our country would not be what it is today if it wasn't for the sacrifice of the thousands of men and women who served selflessly in the armed forces. But far too often I hear from veterans across this state who are denied the recognition and care they deserve. Folks like Laddie Olson. This is a Montanan we are proud of, a prisoner of war captured in Germany during World War II. Laddie spent 4 months in one of the worst German prison camps. And despite his severe injuries, he was still happily helping care for other prisoners, putting others first like we do in Montana. Well, he passed away without receiving the recognition from his country that he deserved. I found out about this injustice in May. And within a month, we successfully petitioned the VA to provide a posthumous prisoner of war medal to Laddie. And I was honored to present that medal to Laddie's daughter, Mrs. Crismore, at the Sanders County Fair Rodeo in August. I will always fight to protect and honor the promises we've made to our veterans and service members. And we must never forget what our veterans and service members are fighting for, these great truths that are self-evident. Remember our Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we must stand for life and protect those who are most vulnerable in our society. And as we look forward to the next generation, we must also keep the promises we made to our parents and our grandparents. Folks like my mom and dad, like my two 95-year-old grandmothers who have worked for years to make this country great. It's our duty to protect the benefits our seniors worked for, they've been promised, and they deserve. But I can't do this alone because this isn't about me. This is about each of you, and this is about the future of your state and your nation. We have the opportunity before us to tame a government rather than grow it. The chance to create jobs rather than put up with more roadblocks of this economy. To deliver on our promises to our parents and our grandparents and our veterans. To perhaps leave behind our kids with less debt and more freedom, not more debt and less freedom. And I know that together we can move Montana forward. Together we can get this country back on track. Together we can change Washington. And by doing so, we'll change the direction of this country. So thank you. May God bless you. May God bless Montana. And may God bless this United States of America.